right. Well, good evening. I hope everybody's had a good, cool day. Everybody enjoyed the snow yesterday? Yeah. Wasn't that nice? Oh, Mimi and I, we loved it, didn't we? We did. We watched it out the window and kept looking to see if it would accumulate a little bit. We were going to build a snowman. Just didn't happen, but it was real pretty. Enjoyed it. It was nice, and it's nice and cold out there tonight. Yeah, I'm going to give away some money eventually, and I know, like Darren, but it's not tonight. If you'll notice, my bride's not with me tonight. I told David when we came in, I said, me and Kitty had a big argument. She's not coming tonight. Money. Huh? About money, yeah. That's right, good, Darren. Real good. Yeah, Visa card came in. The bill came in. Now, she is... She had a request to help First Baptist with their choir practice tonight. So she wanted to go do that with the choir, and I gave her permission to go do that. But because she's not here tonight, because she'll be in the pool, we're not giving away money tonight. We'll wait till she's here. No. Yeah. All right. There are only two more sessions after tonight, and that's right. That's right, and then you'll be free. tonight, what I wanted to do is I'm going to continue to talk a little bit about the mindsets that we've already talked about for the first 3 weeks, and then we're going to start to talk specific fundamentals of what we need to do and put in place to get our finances in order and manage our wealth. I was telling Diane before we got started that next week and the following week is really when I'm going to get down to brass tacks about specific things that you need to do. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what you don't need to do, but I'm not going to do a whole lot of that because I shared with you before that the way I like to do things as a coach is I don't like to tell you what not to do. I'd rather tell you what to do. And if you'll do with the to-dos, then you got something going. But I don't even want to talk about too much. There's going to be a couple things that I'm going to mention. So next 2 weeks, we're going to really get down to the necessary changes to managing our wealth with the fundamental pieces. So, tonight I wanted to ask if everybody still using your envelopes, everybody putting money in your envelopes. Okay. It's for seed money. If anybody doesn't have an envelope, I do happen to have one. Does anybody need one? Anybody didn't get one? The whole idea behind the envelope is that I want to start creating a pattern for you of saving money in an easy way. I suggest you try to do $20 a week. You can do anything that you can. Do the most that you can, but put it in there. And then on our last night, 2 weeks from tonight, I'm going to tell you what I think you should do with the money. All right? And it's not going to be give it to me, even though I have hinted around to that. All right? However, let me just say here now, if you want to, feel free, okay? All right. Question for you tonight is, if you want to raise your hand or just acknowledge, if any of you started having discussions with your mate or with yourself about your finances, start talking, okay? Anybody else? Having discussion? Good. It's really a phenomenon for married couples, and it's very natural, actually, the way most people do it is people just don't talk about it. They just don't talk about it. They worry that something's going to come up, that there's going to be an argument, there's going to be a disagreement. And when I coach people, I tell them, do not argue about this. If you start to get upset, stop the conversation and wait and come back later. Don't get into arguments. Now, the reason I do that is because what happens is when we get in an argument, if you can remember things that Ralph and Buren teaches about positive and negative, when you get into an argument, you become defensive and negative energy starts to take over the conversation. And when you do that, you're not going to get anywhere. It will make it worse. Now, at the same time, I expect everybody to be adults about it. Don't create an argument just so they'll shut up and go in the other room, okay? You have to face this. You have to do it. Now, the thing about it is, is once you do, once you start paying attention, once you start actually managing what you actually have, you discover stuff, don't you, Diane? You discover things, and you discover stuff because one of my blogs this week was a statement, and I was going to get with you tonight, talk to you about that. She had a question for me about, I don't like the statement, I can't afford it. I can't afford it. I understand what it means, but you understand, a lot of times we say that, and that's really not what the problem was when you wanted to do something. You spent the money somewhere else. You could afford it. You just spent it somewhere else or allocated. I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about giving, and I have people tell me sometimes, I can't afford to give. You can if you sit down and write down and make a plan and figure out what you got and allocate it for that. But if you just go ahead and use the excuse, I can't afford it, then you think everything's fine and dandy. And it's not. It's not. It's going to complicate things even more. So I appreciate that, and I want to encourage you to continue to have conversations. Kitty and I, the way we do it, we're like a team. I do most of the paying of the things that we have, and we don't have any debt other than our house on the mortgage, and she does the budget. We agree on the budget. We talk about it. We decide what we're going to allocate money-wise, but she keeps up with what we spend and how we spend it and where if we're on budget or not. And when we find that we're getting out of budget, if we find we've eaten out more than we were supposed to, then we realize that some money has to come from somewhere else to make that up, or we got to make a little more money somewhere to make it up, cut something out to get it back like it's supposed to be. Okay? And so we work as a team, but we have conversations on a regular basis of where we are. We don't keep secrets from each other. We don't keep secrets. She knows the money I have. I know the money she has. We just do our thing. I'm going to get into more of that in the next couple of weeks. So I was also going to ask if we got a small crowd tonight, but does anybody have a testimony you want to give tonight about anything that you've discovered or anything about managing your wealth? Okay. So what she said that works for her, yeah, instead of doing it, she gets paid once a month, but it's easier for her to put a little money in the envelope each week rather than a large amount on the front end. And that's fine if you can stick to that and do it. It is. See, that's a plan. That's what that is. And that's how it works. Okay? And I like that in the idea that everything that I'm going to share that I've shared up till now and that I'll share in the next 2 weeks and tonight is a lot of it is the way that I do it. It's not the only way to do it. It's not the only way to do it. The fundamental pieces are that you have to sit down and talk about it. You have to know what you have, what you're committed to. You have to know that. I said it last week that what most of us do over a period of time or at some time in our life is we guess at it. And when you do that, you're wrong. It's not going to work. Just know it. Sit down on a piece of paper, and then you know what your reality is. You know what it actually is. You got the truth in front of you, and then you can deal with it. There are a few things like some of my life coaching stuff. I have some clients that I life coach that have some problems and have had some problems with addictions that are overcoming those things. And what I know about, and it's not just addictions, but any kind of problem that we have in our life, you can't fix it until you acknowledge it. Once you acknowledge it, then you can fix it. But as long as you continue to pretend, and I'll get into that more, then it's going to stay there and it's going to grow. So you have to acknowledge it. All right? I wanted to give you a reminder tonight about what wealth is. Wealth, most of what I've talked about for the first 3 weeks and tonight and for the next two deals with money. But wealth that we own is much more than money. Okay? Much more than money. So what I wanted to emphasize tonight is to understand that your relationships are a part of your wealth. Your relationships with God, your relationships with yourself, your relationship with your mate, with your children, extended family, friends, all of those things are part of your wealth. They're out there. All of it is a part of your wealth. Your health is a part of your wealth. Your health is a part of your wealth. How good you feel. What you do to stay feeling good. If you do any exercise, those kind of things, it's all comes in. How you eat is all a part of your health, and it's a part of your wealth. I tell people sometimes that I work out, and I have for a long time, and I don't work out with a goal of living to be 110, even though I hope I live beyond that. But I work out for my quality of life. That's why I work out. I like to jump on the trampoline with my grandkids. I like to get on the floor and wrestle with them. I like to ride bikes. I don't want to watch them. I want to be a part of it. And that's why I exercise. And I encourage people to do that. But see, that's part of my wealth. It's part of my wealth. And, of course, our money and our finances are a part of our wealth. Understand this, that, see, all, it's funny how this works, but all the principles that I share with you and I will share with you about finances, those same principles are the same things that need to be used with your relationships and with your health. Money, relationships, and health. In other words, I said you should talk to your mate, your family about finances, and you should also talk in just general terms and get to know your mate even better, no matter how long you've been married. Talk to each other. Share things. Enjoy stuff together. Go and do stuff and build your relationships. All right, it all comes down to our thoughts and what drives us. Understand, to make any changes, we have to understand why we are where we are right now, and that goes back to acknowledging stuff. I shared this with a couple of clients this week. It just comes up. Seems like this is, if you've not been good with your finances up until now, God is not mad at you. Go ahead and get that on the table. He's not mad at you. If you've not tithed and given any money up until now, God's not mad at you. He is not mad at you. Not at all. He knows that if you'll follow his principles, your life will get better. And that's what he yearns for you to do. But he's not mad. See, some people, have you ever had somebody that you thought was mad at you and you avoided them because you thought they were mad? That ever happened to you? We do that sometimes with God when we think we've done something wrong, so we'll avoid that. That's not how he wants it to work. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to make him a part of that. So understand where you are right now. This is where we make discoveries for changes. And to make them, we have to expose our inner soul of where we are and how we feel. We started to talk about our thoughts, the things that drive us. The positive and the negative works in everything. It works in everything. Whatever you dwell on, whatever energy you feed is what will grow. We talked about the different mindsets, that if you have the mindset of pride and poverty, you have a negative mindset and it will grow. It will grow. If you feel as if you're a victim, you will be. If you feel that you have, if you feel that you've been slighted, you will be. You decide. You make your mind up on that. And so you can just flip that around the other way and decide you're going to go in the other direction and think the other way. Just think the other way. That's all you got to do. This is the simplest thing in the world, this positive and negative thing, but we make it so complicated. But it's determining which way I'm going to go with my mindset. So we talked about pride and poverty and gratefulness is where we want to be. And it will drive every aspect of our wealth, relationships, finance, and money. The different mindsets we discussed, pride and poverty, will manifest themselves into pity, selfishness, greed, envy, hopelessness, and the mindset of gratefulness will manifest into giving, generosity, humility, and contentment. Now, as a coach, I know the importance of focusing on what to do, like I was telling you a minute ago, is where I want to go. So, When I've talked about the mindset of pride and poverty, I don't want you to concentrate on those. See, I want you to concentrate on being grateful. If you'll just simply concentrate on being grateful, you don't have to know anything about pride and poverty. It disappears. It's not anything you need to worry yourself with. It's not anything you need to concern yourself with. It's not anything that you need to try to keep addressing in your life. The way you address it is to have a mindset of gratitude. When you have a mindset of gratitude, those two disappear. They have no meaning whatsoever. Don't make it your goal to avoid it. Make it your goal just to be grateful. If we become grateful, then the other can't exist. All right? So let's come to a decision. I'm grateful. Thank you, Diane. I'm grateful. So now what? See, the truth is when we really latch on to gratefulness, we understand that we don't own anything. And I've talked about this the first 2 weeks. I'm going to emphasize it again. We don't own anything. Here's something that I want you to understand. Eventually, everything in your possession will be given away. Everything in your possession will be given away. You don't own anything. It's all temporary. Every bit of it is temporary. Okay? Now, that's not to give you an idea that you're not important, because what we're going to show is, oh, you are so important, and you don't have to own everything, because the owner will give you much, 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 much when you buy into the principles, when you follow his principles, when you allow him to do that for you, that he will be able to do that. So you don't own anything, and eventually everything you own is going to be given away. Everybody knows, I've shared it already, that Kitty and I, we love yard sales and estate sales, you know. And you go to an estate sale, see, the people are gone. Everything in that house is being done away with. Everything. All of it. It makes me wonder sometimes when I go into a house and just thinking about what I actually have, what's really important to me? What's really important? Because I like going through and looking for a treasure, you know, but you go through and you see stuff, and it's amazing some of the stuff that you find that you wonder, why was that important? Why was that so important to them to keep that, for that to happen? And I see things all the time that I know had some really deep meanings for somebody, and here it is laying on the table for a quarter, for a quarter. Everything's going to be given away. We don't own anything. If we're not careful about keeping our thoughts, our mindset on gratefulness and thankfulness, those other mindsets will come in and set up shop. And then when they do, we get confused about what our needs are, what belongs to us. We let ego drive us, and that will always take us away from God. Always take us away from God. Ralph uses the ego as edging God out. And when it's all about me, myself, and I, it always takes God out of it. Scripture verse tonight, I've used it already, but I'm going to use it again, is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Now, there are hundreds of scripture where God said it, Jesus said it when he was here, in many of the books in the New Testament, all with the same principle, that if you'll honor God with your wealth, then you can't hold all the blessings that will come to you. And doesn't that sound very simple? Doesn't it? It is simple. But see, we mix it up. We mix it up. We try to make it more complicated. The first way that we show our gratefulness should be through the act of giving. It's the first thing God did. He created and gave. That's what he did. And he set the tone for that, or that's what life is about. All through Scripture, everywhere, it's all about giving. Jesus teaches us that for us to be where we're supposed to be in our lives and our relationship with him is to be givers and servants. It's all about giving. When we give, we're obedient children of God. And the more grateful that we are, going back to that, the more grateful we become, the more we are able to give. Now, let's talk about what is giving tonight. What is giving? Because as I was doing some studying and reading and getting ready for this part, and I was putting this together, I just wrote down the question for me, what is giving? I started thinking about it, and it came to me because I think I've had this attitude about it before. I think that a lot of times we get the word giving confused with trading. Exactly. We get the word giving confused with trading. I'll trade you, God. Because we'll hear it now, and I've said it, and I'll say it again. When you give your 10%, I just said it, blessings will overflow into you, okay? But sometimes we lose the true meaning of giving because we look at it as a trade sometimes. And I'm not saying everybody in here does that. I'm saying at times I know I've felt that way. I know I have. I know I have given stuff before with the idea that something coming back to me. And I know it will, but see, my attitude was wrong. I was making a trade instead of a giving heart. True giving is when we're able to give and have no expectation for anything in return. You just totally release it. Totally release it. I know I've done this before, and I know I'm not the only one in the room. You ever given something or amount to somebody, and when you see them, you think about it? You think about it? I gave them. I shared with you the other day about feeding the birds, but see, it's all in the attitude of how we approach it. It's easy for us to confuse giving with trading when we're expecting something in return. You know what? What if we're just expecting a thank you? Is that a trade? Now, I know we're here in the South where thank you is a nice, that's, we expect it, don't we? And it is the honorable thing to do. But do we do it sometimes where our giving was, I'm waiting on that thank you to kind of settle things for me? And don't get me confused. I know, again, that's being very polite, and you should. I've been taught that all my life. But I want us to go just a little deeper about what's in our heart when we give something. Do we expect something in return? Because if we do, we're not giving, we're trading. I want you to think about that and reflect on that. See, that's the kind of question when I was studying this, because I know, I exposed myself. I told you, I've thought that before. I know I have. I know I have. And I was wrong for doing it. See, it took away from the gift. It took away from the gift altogether. It just took it away. Because I know I've experienced the other stuff too, of just totally giving with no expectation for anything to come back. Nothing. And I know what that feels like. So I want you to see, only you can answer that question, because this is a powerful piece of this, of managing your wealth, because God wants us to be a giver, not a trader. He wants us to have a heart for giving. Okay? So that's what we've got to latch on to. I want you to take the time to think about that, reflect on it. Because where that comes from is everybody's experienced it. You did it when you were a kid. Everybody's got to learn a lesson about sharing. And you see little kids, you give somebody a pack of gum, and there's three friends with them, and there's only four pieces of gum in it. They're not so quick to give it out, are they? See, we learn it real quick. We learn it real quick, don't we? You've seen kids that'll be in that situation that'll give gum away if they get something back. Will you be my friend? What can you do for me? Can I ride your bike? I'll give you a piece of gum. If we do. See, little kids, we all do it. We all learn that way. And sometimes we take it into our adult life to where instead of having a giving spirit, and we say it's a giving spirit, it's really a trade here. It's really a trade where we're trading, not giving. So I want you to look deep into yourself about that. And again, God's not mad at you about that if you know you do that. All you got to do is fix it. That's all you got to do is fix it. But look at your attitude and how you look at it. Giving is an act of love. When you think about it, it's the primary characteristic of love. Giving. Giving your love. The people who are close to you, you have to give your love. Now, don't misunderstand, because we are expecting something in return. We want to be loved in return. But giving is one of the first characteristics of love, and we have to give. Now, Jesus told us that we are to love one another. As a matter of fact, he said that when he was asked about the greatest commandment, he said it all comes down to two, and they have the same thing. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's all about love. That's what generates every part of this. So giving is an act of love. Love is giving, and God makes it clear that everything boils down to that. God's word is full of instructions for us on how to manage our blessings, our wealth, according to his principles. I've started reading the Bible in my daily Bible reading. I've got one of those Bibles the scriptures broke down for each day to read through the year. So I've been in Genesis since January reading. And something kind of struck me this week when I was reading in my daily Bible readings in Genesis, because I'm in the section now where, and I didn't write this down, but in Genesis, where God has given all the instructions for the temple, for the robes, for everything that they're to wear, how it's supposed to be made, all the specifics. And as I'm reading through that, I mean, it's just a long list of everything that is so specific. That's what I noticed. I thought, you know, most of us, we'd say, we need a robe for Buren. What are he's going to wear up here? But when God was putting this together, he was so specific about every little detail. And then it kind of dawned on me this week while I was reading that, is that he's just that specific about us and how we manage our wealth. It's all in there. It's just in bits and pieces. So God is very specific about what we need to do, and we just need to follow his instructions. And I have a number of those verses that I'm going to have for you on the last session that I'll be able to pass out if you want them, of different scriptures about where God tells us how to handle our wealth, how to manage it. But if we follow his instructions, we become obedient. We're obedient children of God, as I said a moment ago. I got to thinking about that word obedient when I was putting this together too, and I thought about, isn't it kind of funny how we want everyone else to be obedient all the time? We can mess up occasionally, but we want everybody else to be obedient. See, that gets into our relationships and everything else. But we need to be obedient. When we're not obedient, we do what we know we shouldn't do as managers. And it's amazing that the stuff, as we're going to go through these principles and talk about these things and what we've already talked about, is how I shared this a couple of weeks ago, how we have the instructions and we know what to do, and people go to these seminars and hear people and whatnot, and then they still don't do it. And so I came across this story that kind of fits this mindset or this action that we do so often of not doing what we know we shouldn't do. It's an old American Indian legend. And the story goes that there was a young Indian preparing for manhood. And so the way they did that would be that the father of the Indian would take the young son out into a meadow, a field, And he would tell him that it was time for him to reach his manhood. And he would tell him that he was going to be out in the wilderness here by himself until he found his manhood. And then he could come back, and he would have discovered all that. So this father took his young son out. He took him down into a valley, explained everything to him. He already knew what was going on, but he left him there. And the legend says that the Indian, the young Indian boy stood in the valley. And for a while, he just stood there, just looking all around, everything, trying to take everything in. And what caught his eye was a mountain, one of the mountains there. And he decided that for him to find his manhood, he needed to climb that mountain. That when he got to the top, he would find his manhood. So the young Indian gathered all the stuff that he could find to take with him, and he went out on his way to try to climb to the peak of the mountain. And the legend has it that he made it to the top, and when he got up there, there was snow on the top of the mountain. But he got all the way up to the top, and he was looking down at the land below, and he was starting to swell in pride because he felt like he had become the man that he is supposed to be by conquering that mountain. But he heard a little noise at his feet. And the legend says that he turned around and looked, and there was a rattlesnake in the snow. And the rattlesnake said to the young Indian, he said, "I need to get down to the valley where it's warm." He said, "I need you, if you will, to put me inside your coat and carry me down to the valley where I can survive." And the young boy looked at the snake, and the snake looked back up at him, and the snake told him again what his dilemma was. He said, "It's cold up here. I'm freezing. I can't find any food. Please place me under your coat and take me down to the valley." And the young boy looked at the snake and said, "No, no, no. I know your kind. I've been forewarned about you. You're a rattlesnake. And if I pick you up, you'll bite me. And your bite will kill me." But the snake said back to the little boy, "Not so. I will treat you differently. If you will do this for me, I will treat you special, and I promise I will not harm you." And they had a discussion there. But the little boy, a young man, after he resisted for a while, he gave in because he said the snake had beautiful markings on him, and he was a really pretty snake. So he took him and placed him under his coat to take him down to the valley, keep him warm. Said the young Indian got down to the valley to where it was warm, and he reached into his shirt and pulled the snake out and gently laid him on the ground, proud of what he had done, proud that he had accomplished what he had. And the snake bit him. And the young Indian said, "But you promised me that you wouldn't do that to me." And the snake said, "You knew what I was when you put me in your coat." See, we hear instructions, we see instructions to God, and we know what we're supposed to do, but we get talked out of it. Something pretty, something convinces us to go the other way because we listen to the wrong thing. We listen to the wrong person. So just like the young Indian with this snake, we do the same thing when we refuse to be obedient. When we do what we know we shouldn't do. The giving will generate thankfulness for both the giver and the receiver. Giving will generate thankfulness for both the giver and the receiver. Now that is, keep in mind, that we give and we don't trade. If you give, it creates thankfulness on both ends. You're thankful because you have it to give. The other person's thankful for what they receive. Everybody wins, and that's the way God intended it for be. Thankfulness is an energy that will grow, but we have to feed it to be obedient to God. Understand this about giving and about following your obedience. Your reward will always be greater than your obedience. Always. Proverbs 11:24 says, "One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty." Proverbs is full of scripture verse telling us how we should give, how we should handle our wealth. Now, I started this with an understanding that we have to be obedient. We have to follow God's principles and what he tells us to do with it and not be swayed like the Indian legend. What most of us try to do is things that we get onto our kids about is to try to be partly obedient. Partly obedient. I'll do a few things the way I'm supposed to do, but the whole gamut, that's a little bit much. And it won't work. You can't be partly obedient. It's still disobedience. When we're obedient, we follow the principles and commandments. See, when we're obedient and we give, it magnifies our wealth in our eyes. All right? I want to make sure you understood what I said. When we give and we're obedient, it magnifies our wealth in our eyes. You start to see more of what you have. You start to see things. I've had people that I've been dealing with in life coaching and talking to them about being grateful and noticing what they have. And time after time, and it happened for me too when I went through the training of that, is that when you focus on what you actually have, you discover how much you actually have that you fail to see from a day-to-day basis. You don't see it. But part of being obedient and part of giving will make that happen, and it will be magnified in your eyes. Wealth and riches aren't what we think when we look at it from a standpoint of the ego mindset, that we want to keep it for us. It loses its value. It loses its value. Tonight, our focus is on our attitude toward giving. Giving is the beginning of being generous. And I want you to understand what generosity is. Generosity is a step above giving. It's a step above giving. It's a higher understanding of giving, of learning to be generous, all right? And that's where we want to go. God wants us to experience being generous. Now, all of this has to do with how we manage what we have so that we're able to give. See, a lot of times we put ourselves in a position where, like I said, we use excuses that we say we can't afford it, or we put ourselves in a position that we overextend ourselves, and then we really don't have anything to give because we wind up with more stuff for us, thinking of us only, ego, me, myself, and I. So the whole idea is to understand to put together this spirit of giving inside of you that's already there, that God's given you, that'll expand everything. It'll magnify everything for you. It acknowledges what we've been given as a provision, and we show our obedience and love in returning the portion that he requests. Now, I want to say this about giving for you tonight. I believe it's the first principle that we have to follow to increase the wealth that we see. Because, as I told you, I think in the first week, is that many, many, many times, so many times in the scripture, everything's referred to as sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. We have to plant to be able to receive a harvest. It has to be done. Nothing grows without it. And giving is the planting. Everywhere that we go, every opportunity that we have to give. The mindset of giving is the kind of where that we give of our time, that we give of money, that we give compliments, encouragement, all of those things. The biggest piece for us, though, that we hold on to more than anything is our money rather than giving. We have a tendency to feel like that when we give, we're losing something. We have a tendency to believe that God has blessed us with this and it was for us. And it is. But see, that's that childish thing of having some gum to give and not willing to share with other people. Because everybody knows, everybody's probably, when you were growing up, you probably had kids. You might have been the kid that never would share stuff. And consequently, when other kids have stuff, they don't want to share with him. See how that works? It's that principle. So for us, to be able to, what we need to do is sow by giving, and in doing so, we kick everything in gear. Kick everything in gear for God to be able to do what he needs to do or wants to do and has already blessed us with. We start seeing it more, okay? All right. In closing tonight, I want to stress, now Kitty's not here tonight, so we don't have a pianist. So what we'll do tonight is I'm just going to ask us to close in prayer. And I want to spend a few moments of just being quiet with you. You be quiet with you. I want you to think about your attitude towards giving, your attitude towards what you actually have, how you have been blessed, what you do with it, how that works. The whole idea tonight is kind of to provoke us to contemplate about how do I approach this idea of giving? Am I a giver? Am I really just doing it for the trade? Am I doing it for the trade? So if you would, I want you to just bow your head and close your eyes. And I want you to, I'm going to give us just a few minutes just to sit in silence. I want you to just think about and talk to God about your relationship with what he's blessed you with. Father, you know everyone here. You know every detail about everyone here. You know our inner thoughts, everything about it. I pray that each one of us here tonight, dear Lord, that we will, first of all, that tonight's just not a night of just an evaluation between you and I about our mindset towards giving. But that it'd be a time of a commitment to us to do things the way that you want it to be done, to know how the Father wants us to have a heart for giving, to know how that you want us to be able to share what we have that will open up, as the Scripture says, the things that you will give us that will flow out upon us. I pray that from tonight it will stir all of us to think not only right now in this moment, but that our eyes will be opened when we need to be obedient, when we see somebody that has a need, that we're able to do that, of knowing that we do our part to support the work that's being done in your house here, to do our part in providing for people, to be the conduit for you so that you can work through us to be the love that you have talked about in your scripture of what we're supposed to be to everyone. I pray that we, each one of us, will be known, dear Lord, as givers. I pray that for each one of us, when people come in contact with us, that they'll know by their spirit and our spirit that we're giving people, that we give love, we give encouragement, we give support, we give what you share with us freely. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.